Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Grounded in what matters for our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, when we get it anchored in the cornerstone, which is God and His Word, then we're able to have great results. We're able to walk in His will and His plan and His purpose for our lives. And the point of this sermon today, the sharing, is to encourage and inspire each and every one of us to be used by God to live victoriously each and every day of our lives, right now and in the future, because we all have a purpose. We all have that God dream which is created in our hearts to make a difference in our communities and across the seas. God wants to use all of us. Not one of us is lacking. Not one of us is less capable to make a difference for the Lord. I don't know if you guys have heard of Miles Monroe. He's from the Bahamas. He died a few years ago. But he was talking about the richest place on earth. I was watching him on YouTube. He was doing a television interview in Africa. I don't remember which country. But the interviewer, asked him, give us a last statement to the audience, what you want to leave them with in their walk with Jesus today. He says, rob the graveyard of your life. He said, what do you mean, rob the graveyard? The graveyard, my brother and sisters, is the richest place on earth. And the guy says, what do you mean? That's where we bury people. How is that the richest place on earth? That's where bodies decompose. He says, the graveyard is the place where all the witty inventions, all the God dreams, the scientific breakthroughs, the cancer breakthroughs, the comedians, because they cowered in fear, they did not walk in God's plan and purpose through faith, they brought it with them to the grave. Now I want to ask you, are you going to be one of those that brings that God dream to the grave with you? Or are you going to make it grow to make a difference? And we can choose to walk in faith, that's what I want to talk about, or we can walk in fear. Now, when we talk about faith and fear, really when it comes down to it, it's trust and reliance in what God has to say about our situation, whether we're going to do that or not. Very often when we talk about faith, we say it's the absence of fear. That means we know that fear is not real. It's the product of our imagination. Sometimes we're too afraid and we need to step out in faith. Very often we'll look at somebody's results. Families, or they have this money, their kids are doing so well, they're healthy. I wish I had faith like them. Maybe I'll get there one day. But faith is not measured metrically like that. And to look at that focus here, we're going to look at Numbers 13, verse 26 to 33, and I'll jump around in the Old and the New Testament. But remember the Israelites. They were going to the promised land. They knew what the promise of God was for them. Very often we know what that God dream is for us, and we're within hand's grasp. But we sometimes seem not to be able to catch it or make it happen. Numbers 13:26 is when the spies of Israel came back with a report of the promised land. They came back to Moses, it says, and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land into which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Verse 29 goes and names the various peoples. But verse 30, we see Caleb, a man that had a different spirit. He decided to trust in God. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now we notice here, Caleb did not have his whole situation figured out at that moment. He saw the obstacle that was in front of him, but he says, because God says we can, I'm going to trust Him and let's go do it. We talk about it's not a religion, it's a relationship, right? That phrase that we use a lot of the time, which is true. And that means in our daily walk, means we're not alone. We're walking hand in hand in a relationship with Jesus. God won't do it without us. It's not that He can't, but He won't. So we need to walk hand in hand with Him. Now, there's two variations of the same report. Now, very often in our lives, we have a situation we're going through right now. We're looking at a report right now. My dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer 10 years ago. And my mom started crying. My dad did not take it lightly, but he believed in a God that heals. And he says, Liliana, you know, very often when you're diagnosed with cancer, people look at you like you're dead already, right? But he looked at my mother. He says, Liliana, I'm the same I was before I was diagnosed. I'm going to be the same after. And I believe in a God who heals through the power of his word. Amen. It was at a time when he was writing his book on healing, God's Healing Secrets, that he was diagnosed with this. And he goes to the Balkans. He still didn't cancel his mission trip. He goes to the Balkans in front of 1,000 people. He says, today I'm healed by the mighty name of Jesus. He was quoting God's word, his scripture. And today he doesn't have cancer in his prostate, which is absolutely wonderful. You can read that in his book. What report are we going to believe? Verse 31 says, the men who had gone with them said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. This was in response to Caleb's version of the report. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. He goes on to say, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Talking about the soul, the pastor talked about last week, mind, will, and emotions. How are we going to look at our situation through God's perspective, through our eyes, through our hearts? Numbers 14 verse 8 begins to say that people were crying over the night about what happened. They were complaining, but Caleb again, verse 8, talks about if we obey the Lord. He acknowledged the report, but he also knew the God factor to his situation. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. So what report are we going to believe today? Now I want to look at what operating in fear looks like and then look at what operating in faith looks like. Because every day we have to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in the image of God who created us. That's a daily decision. Just like we have to choose to love our spouses on a daily basis, whether they deserve it or not. Just like we have to choose to give our tithe or to set money aside or to teach our children. It doesn't just happen automatically. And the same with is walking in fear or walking in faith. And when we assess how we're walking our daily lives, we get to see what we need to repair or improve, what we need to step away from, or where we need to focus on. At Shining Light Ministries, we do this monthly work report. In this monthly work report, we have the hours, the results, everything that took of the day to see how far we got this month. And if something didn't pay off, hours-wise, investment-wise, we don't do that and we don't carry it into the next month. And that's where we're able to go forward and grow every month. And so in the same way, if we assess ourselves, look in the mirror, see what's going on, how we are reacting to different situations, we'll know if we're walking in fear in that situation or in faith. So number one, operating fear, for all my note takers, fear over-exaggerates and spreads false rumors. We read in Numbers that they said, the earth will swallow them. We all looked like grasshoppers. They were all huge. You know, children, teenagers, we always say to our parents, you never, you guys always. It's a 24/7 thing, right? And the parents, we tell them, hey, always means all the time. Never means, hey, those are big words. That's what the Israelites were doing. They said everyone was huge, even babies. Think about that. I know that's a little comical, but it's true. You see this object? This is the Bible, but let's pretend this is my obstacle. Fear over-exaggerates the problem or the situation, because that's if we focus on it in fear, we focus on the obstacle, becomes so big, I see nothing else. Can I see you guys when I have this up to me? No? You guys got to cooperate with me, because I'll preach a 3-hour Balkan sermon and then we won't be happy. I'm just kidding. But when I lay it down, I can see the beautiful people that you are. Amen? When I lay down my problem, I see that God was always there. That problem was not as big as I made it out to be. 99% of fears never happen. 1% we can't do anything about. So let's just relax, and we know we're in the palm of God's hands. That's what we sang this morning, right? That's the best place to be. You know, obstacles are big. Sometimes they are bigger than us. But we have God who's bigger than any of those obstacles. Moses was not qualified. He felt he was not qualified. And I'll tell you today, we're not qualified. But God, through his strength, is able to work through us. Moses felt he didn't measure up. He was a stutterer. God said, yay, you need to go to Pharaoh and give these speeches to bring my people out of Egypt. Moses, stutterer. How's he supposed to do that? Exodus 3:11 says, Moses says, who am I to go? Verse 12, Jesus right away, he says, I will be with you. See, God is your strength. Habakkuk 3:19 is one of my favorite Bible verses. It says, the Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. You know what's wonderful about spiritual confidence? It's not based on the physical circumstance that you're in right now. It's based on the God that you're anchored in. Because your citizenship is in heaven. That means you're seated at the hand of the Father. You see, God has a purpose for you and me. We're all able through him. As children, we have those dreams, right? I wanted to be an NBA player, but that didn't turn out. So I figured out that wasn't a God dream pretty quick. My left hand is dead when I play basketball, so it doesn't work. Number two, first we look, fear over-exaggerates the situation. We feel we can't do it. We're small. Number two, sometimes because of fear, we feel that our past is too dark for God's bright future, or we don't qualify, or we can't do it because of what we've done. But I want to tell you today, because of the cross, it's not. Now when you look in Genesis 48, you guys remember Joseph, the dreamer of dreams, the coat of many colors? Joseph was always a dreamer. Joseph never let go of that God dream. When he was thrown in the pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, he became the second most powerful man in Egypt. Going towards the end of his life, Genesis 48, his father, Jacob, was laying in bed. He was already going blind. Now, the culture of that time was, if I was Joseph and I had my sons, he had two sons, I would bring my sons to my father to be blessed. And so the generations proceeded after that. They still do that in the Balkans sometimes as well. What's really powerful about this, Joseph, he named his two sons on two separate parts of his life. Ephraim, second born, was meant fruitful. Manasseh, the firstborn, meant causing to forget. Now let's not forget, Joseph went through some pretty troubling experiences. And so he named both his sons on those portions of his life. And bringing his sons to his father, Jacob, he sees his father's going blind. He sees that he's laying in bed, and he wants his father to bless his sons before he goes. He brings Manasseh on his right side, Ephraim on his left, the right hand signifying the bigger portion of the blessing going to the older, the second, the smaller portion of the blessing to serve the older, younger serving the older. And we see here, we have a forgetful past and a prosperous future. And what does Jacob do? He crosses his hands and places the larger portion of the blessing on the second born, on Ephraim, and the smaller portion on Manasseh, giving the picture of the cross. What's really amazing about that, Joseph sees him doing this. He says, hey, father, you're screwing it up. He thought, okay, he's blind. He maybe doesn't see. But Jacob, in verse 17, says, I know what I'm doing, my son. I know. I see. And just like God knows and sees, you don't have to feel that you're not qualified. You don't have to feel that God is doing something wrong by showing you some favor. And you don't have to feel that your past is too dark for God's bright future. How many of us here have had, let's be real, how many of us have had people say you can't do it? What makes you think you're capable or you're allowed to do it? Don't you know what you've done? Usually when we're doing something for God, that's when that happens, right? But you see, we're able through God, we're able through his might and his power, regardless of our past, regardless of our qualifications. But there's a way to do it. I'm going to transition here. It's walking by faith. You know, I was sitting with a confidant of mine at Evangel when I was a student, and we were discussing about this. And I'm really a practical guy when it comes to God's word. There's a practical application in things that I read. There's a spiritual component, but I believe the spiritual part is also has a practical, physical manifestation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, famous verse. I believe that it's one of the most misused, most misinterpreted, walking by faith, not by sight. Remember that verse? And when you're in college, you question everything about your life, the significance of your life. What am I supposed to do? What is my call? What am I going to do? And this friend of mine says, hey, Dave, just walk by faith, not by sight. Throw your hands up in the air. God will take care of it. But if we have that attitude, we'll be waiting for 20 years and nothing's going to happen. You guys remember that Carrie Underwood, that song, Jesus, take the wheel? I don't sing. You can see that. But I'm sure she had her gas on the pedal, right? That's just still going. And so in that sense, the Greek word faith, which is pistis, means trust and reliability. Upon what? Upon the word of God. Just like Caleb said, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to do it. Let's plan. But I know God says it, so that settles it in my heart. Any business people here? People, entrepreneurs? I'll go say hi to you guys later. No, I'm kidding. We follow a system. They say you eat vegetables for 1 month, you'll see the results the next month. When we want to start in a business in an entrepreneurial sense, we look at the success of some other business people, what they did, and we, in faith, follow that, those steps. Why can't we do that with the Word of God? Not to get to a destination, but why can't we have that faith? If God says it, that settles it. Sometimes we find it hard to tithe. I'm allowed to speak on that because I'm not the pastor here, right? No. 10% is everyone's 10%, no matter how much you have. My dad started tithing since he was saved at 15 years old. He didn't have much. He went without heat. As a student, he would run around his room to stay warm, and he couldn't study because it was so cold. But he never forgot to tithe. So the Greek word pistis, walk in accordance with Scripture. But Joshua 1:8 is the real key to this. Coming back to the soul, mind, will, and emotions. We all have those. What are they grounded in? What holds them together? Because we can sow the media in our hearts. We can sow evil words in our hearts, and they also have consequences, just like God's word. There's a consequence, a good result, when we sow it in our lives. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's Joshua 1:8. Now, when I was an evangel, I say there's three types of students. There's the ones who always study and have A grades. There's the middle that procrastinate and prepare. And then the ones that just procrastinate. Actually, there's only two. There's the ones that procrastinate and the ones that really take their schoolwork seriously. But it makes me feel better by saying there's three. And so meditating on the word of God day and night means to mutter. You know those bracelets, what would Jesus do? Back in the day, we had those. There's a joke on that. If you make a mistake, it's the J's. What would James do? It's his brother. So James isn't perfect, so you're okay. But it's, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would he do in that? What would he do in that? Well, before an exam, we're muttering. Oh, this is the answer. Oh, this should be it. Come out of the exam, you notice everybody else circled A and you circled C. So who's right? But we see a formula here. Read the word, study the word, practice the word. Now, I want to talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. Any FIFA soccer fans here? Okay, so good. Not much debating here. That's great. So I can just tell you guys something and you guys will believe me. Cristiano Ronaldo, Portugal. I say he's the best player in the world today. He's the most paid player in the world. He's one of the most famous. Lionel Messi from Argentina is debated whether one or two are better. But this is a few years ago. We have Copa de America, right? There's FIFA and then every continent has their cup. And we're the Americans. We believe that we will win. No, I believe that. And we don't usually, but it's okay. We have faith, right? Cristiano Ronaldo had to have a version of faith. He was in the Euro Cup. Last game playing against Croatia, Balkan country. We always lose too, so I feel you. He scored his first goal. And so they went into the playoffs and the elimination stages. And I was listening to the press conference after the game. The coach said, now, Cristiano Ronaldo is going to play better. He's going to be a team player. He's going to be more effective. And this is a player who's the best player in the world. Everyone tells him he's the greatest. He has the money to back it up. But before he scored his first goal, he wasn't being effective. What does that tell me about our faith? When we keep kicking, when we keep kicking that ball, whether it's in our relationships, with our marriages, with our kids, with our finances, with our health, over and over again, we're bound to score. We're bound to become more successful. We're bound to grow in our faith, which is rooted in God's word. Just to share a testimony of my mother. Liliana, that's the lady you saw on the screen. She cried in that video because her mother didn't love her. Her dad wanted a girl, so he rejected her. And she never knew love until she was 15 years old, sorry. And she heard through missionaries. And it was so important for her to have us kids, I'm one of six kids, three boys, three girls, to have the word of God rooted in our hearts. Because let's be honest, we can go and listen to the radio and maybe weren't subconsciously listening, but those are words and they have the power of life and death and we're sowing them in our hearts. And what word you have sown in your heart is the very word that's going to come out in your life when you're in a tight situation. Maybe it's with healing, maybe it's with money. So my mother Liliana had us memorize 400 Bible verses by heart every month. 1 Corinthians 13, Psalm 91, Deuteronomy 28, a lot of healing scriptures, different types of things. We were homeschooled, so maybe that gives you an idea why. But we were paid to do it too, so you can't give that up. $30 a month. If you did it first, you got $5 extra. We were entrepreneurs, and that was not taxed money, you know? But isn't that the most important thing we can give our children? When they leave the home, they can go get an education, they can go get this house, this car, but the greatest fulfillment that they'll have in their hearts is the word of God that we sow. that they sow practically. Teach your children the way that they should go, and they won't fall far from it. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Because we can't offer them ourselves. We can offer them the word of God. That's the most powerful thing. So they had us memorize these scripture verses. I remember year in and year out until we were 18. My mom, 7 years ago, almost died. Deborah, she's the youngest child, 7. She's a bossy lady. It's cute, but I don't tell her it's cute because she'll manipulate it then, right? She was born 7 years ago, healthy baby, completely healthy. My mom had never had any problems with giving birth, pregnancies, nothing. But my mom had an issue with her heart. She had high blood pressure. They gave her wrong medication to reduce the blood pressure. It reduced her heart palpitations. So she had what they call a congestive heart failure. After 2 weeks, or after a week, I haven't had a baby yet, so I don't know. You bring them to the doctor to take a physical. And the doctor says, oh, beautiful baby. Deborah is beautiful, but Liliana, you need help. She came home after the hospital. She could barely breathe. Her lungs were filling up with water. She couldn't lay down on the bed to sleep because she would suffocate. She didn't know what was going on. She's a Balkan European mother. They're always involved in the house, always wanting to be involved with the kids, but she could do nothing. We didn't know what was going on. So what happened was at the doctor, they take her into the ambulance. My dad's really upset because the doctor said this medication is not for that, but we don't know what's going on, and that medication caused this. We see it as a blessing in disguise right now, but at that time, no. My mom was in the hospital, in the ambulance, and this is where she had her battle. Whether you've gone through a battle or you haven't yet, we're all going to go through one or a few. And what's the best thing to have in our hearts? The word of God. It was in this ambulance where she was alone, where she could have thought two ways. What the devil has to say, or what the word of God, what God has to say. My dad went to go get us. My mom's struggling. They're putting on a face mask on my mom to push oxygen down her lungs. It didn't help. She had an out-of-body experience, but before that, she had words rolling on a tape. You selfish lady, you should have at least gone at home to be with your family one last time. You're going to die here. You're not going to make it to the hospital. She could have chosen to take a hold of that. But she chose to take a hold of God's word. She had an out-of-body experience. She looks at herself laying on the stretcher. Nurse is there, couldn't do anything. She sees herself struggling. Her throat opens up, and a gushing fountain of water shoots up to heaven like a firefighter's hose. Nothing coming back, just going, shooting up forward. She steps aside and, oh, water, okay. But then she looks deeper into that water. In the same scripture verses that she had us memorize and quote to her month in and month out, 5 kids at the time. You will not die, but you will live and declare the works of the Lord. By his stripes you are healed and made whole. And she had something to hold on to. And that's what saved her life. When you come into your situation, what are you going to have to hold on to? You can have words that you learn from the media. This world's a rotten world. Have fun in it. Or you can have God's word. He has plans, Jeremiah 29:11. Good plans for you. To prosper you. To enable you. To make a difference. The word of God comes alive when you need it most. So I want to ask you a final question. When you look at your dreams, your aspirations, maybe the battle you're going through, what are you going to be feeding? Faith or fear? There's a native saying that faith and fear are like two wolves. The strongest one is the one that you feed. God wants to use all of us. We all have dreams. We all have a purpose. Now the door of opportunity is open to walk through that. Are we going to make that decision today? It's never too late. The time is always now. I can is always the right attitude to begin that. You see, the cancer breakthroughs, the dreams, the visions, the comedians, all that stuff that God has in you, it's ready if you'll release it, if you'll walk hand in hand with God. But you need to keep that tank full. Every day we need to get grounded in the word. We have time for what we prioritize, what we value. Remember there was this one, I'll finish with this, there's a painter in our house, his name was, I forget his name, but he was Portuguese. So I'll call him Pedro. That sounds like a Portuguese name. I can say that I'm from Europe, so. He was painting. He's a Catholic man. And my dad would always have 5-minute Bible study before we went to work, to school, every morning. Pedro's listening, painting, listening. Trust he was doing a good job. And he asked my dad, why do you do this every morning, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the day before the kids go to school? Bible study, practical teaching, prayer, go to school. My dad says, isn't it better, Pedro, that I take the 5-10 minutes in the morning rather than they coming home having God knows what told to them and having to unwind all of that in 3 hours? Isn't that a better use of the time? He says, yeah. After a week, he got saved. Now, how about in our lives? 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day? What do we live, 75, 80 years, 120 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. It's so small, but so significant compared to that. John 14, 12, verse 13 says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified. See, the words we speak affect our thoughts. Our thoughts influence our emotions. This is the soul that Pastor was talking about last week. Our emotions influence our choices. Our choices determine our habits. Our habits influence our character, and our character becomes our destiny. So what are we going to have as the cornerstone? What are we going to sow in our lives, in our hearts, the lives of our children, the lives of our grandparents? Maybe you're a father. You have children now at home. Maybe now you see an opportunity to start sowing into their lives. Maybe you're a father whose children are growing up and you feel like you missed that opportunity. But it's never too late to begin. But it's a decision we have to make every day. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. I've put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in the image of him that created me. So I just want to open up an opportunity. If the worship team wants to come up, if we have a prayer team here as well. Whoever, you don't have to. But whoever wants to make that decision today, whether it's to follow God or recommit your perspective, the way you're looking at that situation, because you know, maybe you're 65. Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Sanders was 70-something when he started KFC. Amazing things we can do when we trust in God. Are you going to trust today? I just encourage you to ask God what it is that you need to do to trust, but we know we need to make a declaration today, a decision in our hearts. And we don't have to think we're not qualified. We don't have to think we've done something terrible. And we don't have to think God can't use us, because he wants to use all of us. Amen? And that's what's exciting. So I'm just going to open up. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and I'll open up the altars to you guys so that we can just spend time in God's presence with discerning and with making a difference. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to walk in you. I thank you for the power of the cross, because we know that the fight is fixed, that we know that we win. But I just ask you to reveal your presence to us, your word to us, in a way that we will understand in a practical application in our lives. Because we know your word is a word for all of us. It speaks to every part of our lives, every essence of our being. And we thank you that we can walk in the palm of your hands. That's the best place to be. The ups and downs, the twists and turns, the turbulence, we know where it is. Father, I ask you to bless my brothers and sisters in every way. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially, Father God. Just as we hear that small, still voice that we recognize through prayer and through reading your word, I ask that will grow louder and louder in our hearts. So when we come into a tight situation, when we need to make a quick decision, we can make one in line with your word. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.